You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
And it's a new day. I'm Rhett Palmer, and my guest today is Carolyn Fisher. She's a Christian author. I met her at a convention for other Christian authors. Weavers? What is it called?
Word Weavers International.
Yes, and I had a joy attending that conference. There was a fragrance and a pulse about it that was very inviting. Everybody there are Christians. A lot of them have top-selling books. The nice thing about it was, I remember I was having lunch with a lady there, and she said, well, have you ever been to a secular conference like this? I said, no. She said, well, it's an entirely different animal, or beast, you might say, because everybody's competing. She said, here, we actually cultivate our competition.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so true.
Now, before you lost your husband tragically, were you a writer, or did this come about because he said he wanted you to write a book to glorify the Lord?
I wrote little notes. When he left me, I started writing little notes and pinning them to his clothes. I don't know why I did that, but I did.
Oh, you mean his clothes that were still hanging, clothes that he left behind, you mean?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so now, how old were you when you got married?
I was 18.
How old was he?
He was 19, almost 20.
Okay, real old guy.
yes, he was. He just joined the Air Force, and I had just graduated.
Isn't it funny when you're 18? And I remember I dated a 23-year-old and thought I was dating an older woman when I was 18. But so you got married. How many years were you married before he decided to be unfaithful to you?
18.
Okay, you've been married for 18 years.
Yes, and I personally believe he went through the midlife crisis like it describes in every book, because I read them all. He had the perfect setup for it.
Okay, so you have been married how many years when this happened? 18?
18, yes.
That's a long time. So you start at 20, so you're in your mid-30s, and he decides to experiment with another woman.
Yes.
I presume you were devastated.
I was absolutely devastated because we were that couple who everybody thought was perfect. We held hands. He was sweetheart, honey. You know, it was just what we thought was, or what I thought was, a great marriage. But then he decided to go back to school on the GI Bill, and he took a psychiatry class.
Oh.
And they wanted him to read a book called Open Marriage. And he came home and asked me what I thought about that.
Liberal agenda. There you go.
Yep. Anyway, I said, I don't want any part of that. And within about a month, he came home one morning and said, I don't love you. I never loved you. And I want a divorce. That was it. Now, I have to tell you, he had a perfect setup with his job. He worked on the original auto train. And he was a mechanical supervisor, and he was over probably 20 single or divorced young women. And they would go to Washington, D.C. and play for 2 days and then come home. So, you know, when you play and you have all that time free, you get into trouble. And I understood it in my head. My heart didn't understand it, but that's what happened. And
why is it that? Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, when he came home and told me that, yes, I was devastated. I didn't understand. I begged him to go for counseling. He said no. He didn't want counseling. And after, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks, I did talk him into going to Fort Pierce because we have good friends there that we kept in touch with. And he was a pastor, and his wife was a marriage counselor, as was he.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there all day. He didn't want to go, but he finally agreed to go. And he went off to the church with our friend, and I stayed at their home with the wife. And when they came home, we had dinner, and that's when I found out there was another woman. Because up until then, I didn't know that.
So he admitted it to this pastor/consultant,
yes.
Counselor. Yeah.
And he also said that he would like to try to work it out. And I was overjoyed, a little doubtful, but overjoyed nonetheless, because we had two daughters. One was 7 and one was 17. So we drove home with a very quiet tone between us, and things went along for a little while, but it just wasn't working, and I knew that. And he said he just couldn't do it. He didn't think, but he wanted to try to go out to Washington State, where his sister lives,
Seattle,
and see if we could make a new start. So he says, you'll have to quit your job. Mm. And I did. I had worked for the school system.
The geographic change, the geographic cure, which never works, but go ahead.
Well, in this case, it sort of did. But anyway, we got babysitters for the kids. They stayed with my parents, and I quit my job, which I didn't want to do, but really? I did. And we took a plane and flew out there, used his sister's car, drove all over the state looking for a place to live. Decided on a place. When we got back to the airport here in Orlando, he said, this isn't going to work. I don't want to get a new beginning. I just want a divorce. And I said, if you want it, you'll have to get it, because I won't have any part of it. And it just was not pleasant. I mean, he would come and he would go. He'd come and he would go. And I always accepted him. I went to my church and tried to get some counseling. And my pastor, who was our pastor, said to me, you don't deserve to live with an adulterer. And I looked at him and said, I don't deserve anything, but I do believe in a forgiving God. And he said, well, if you want to live with an adulterer, that's up to you. And I got up and walked out, and I never went back. So in the meantime, my husband is still coming and going, and God's just telling me, love him, just love him. And it was hard to love a man you don't like and have no respect for, but I was going to be obedient. And I was reading all these books on midlife crisis. And so he just kept coming and going. And I knew he was living, or I thought he was living, with the other woman. And then one day he was home and he got really sick, and I thought he was having a heart attack. And so I called the doctor and they said, get him to the hospital. So I got a sitter for my youngest daughter. The other one had already moved out. She was not living at home. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got to the hospital, he was in the ER and the other lady was there, and she was kind of all over him. And I said to the doctor when he came in, I said, I'm the wife. She's the other woman. Could you ask her to leave? And he did, and she left with venom in her look at me, but she did leave. And
yeah, she's the adulterer, or the adulteress. Pardon? And I mean, here she's the adulterer that swayed your husband away from you, and she gives you the venom look. Yeah, the venom look. Yeah, evil.
Yeah, that's for sure. But anyway, she did leave, and the doctor talked to me, and it was just anxiety. And I found out later, he was planning to have me served with divorce papers the next day, and the anxiety and stress got to him. And of course, I never was served with the papers. So that was a good thing. I believe that was God's intervention. In fact, I'm convinced of it, because God intervened so many times. And I know another time, Christmas, I was taking my youngest daughter to the Altamont Mall, and we were taking her there to sing with the Brownie group. And so we were coming out of one store, and she saw her daddy coming towards us, holding hands with the other lady. And I said, you can go see him. It's okay. I'll be right behind you. And she ran to him as fast as she could. And of course, he knelt down because he couldn't look me in the eye. And I put my hand out to the other lady, and I said, hi, I'm the wife. I know you're the girlfriend. How are you? And it just, if looks could kill, I would have been dead. So we just had a few words. They left, we left, and that was just one of maybe three times that I ever saw her. Didn't really want to see her at all, but I did. And at one point, I tried to take Well, I never told my mother and dad because they dearly loved him. They loved him like a son. And he was a good man. He truly was. And I don't want to dishonor him in any way, because when I married him, he was a good man, and he was a good man when he died. He just got off the beaten path for a while, but he came home a new man when he did come home, and we had 54 years together.
So he got so he got over this adulterous affair.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Repented of it. So what did it take? Yes. What did it take for that to happen?
Well, what happened is he did decide he wanted to get back together. But what happened is he sold our home, and I moved into an apartment with my 7-year-old. And he called me and said that the company had gone bankrupt and he didn't have any place to stay. And I said, well, you can come and stay with us at the apartment until you get a job. I didn't ask what was happening with the other woman. I didn't care. He was coming home and I was glad no matter what he was going to be doing. But anyway, he came and it was Christmas. And on New Year's Eve, he said to me he was going to a party. And I said, really, you're just going to leave and go out with your friends on New Year's Eve? And I had never really gotten really angry until that point. Well, one day I did, but this time it got to me so bad that when he left, I took everything that belonged to him and sat it outside the door. We were in a 2-story apartment, and I just sat it outside and bolted the door, and I didn't talk to him for 2 months. Didn't hear from him, nothing.
Good for you.
Well, it took me a long time to get the guts to do it because I really loved the man. Anyway,
let me ask you this. It does seem like you loved him. Were you needy? It doesn't sound like you were needy. It sounded like you really had a pure love for this.
I did have a pure love. I do have a pure love. I love him as much today as I did when I married him. Of course, I don't know what love was when I married him, but yes, I do love him.
Is love a feeling or is love a decision?
Love is a decision. And it has to be a decision. Otherwise, I think it's lust. And, you know, there's a little of that, too. But this was a decision because I didn't like him when he left me. He was ugly acting. He just wasn't the man that I fell in love with.
Well,
my mother fell in love with.
Okay, so I'm picking up that you had a very stable childhood.
And
so what I'm picking up here, I did not, so I'm more conscious of this. So you were stable. You were not needy. So he could rock your world as far as love, but it doesn't sound like he really rocked your world. Your parents must have loved you so much that you knew everything was okay and would be okay no matter what. I see someone like me who had alcoholic parents and a lot of things went wrong. We become very needful. That person becomes our stability, which is really very unhealthy.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.